Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, Monumental Sports Network, and on the Team 980. We welcome in those great listeners who just heard the Kevin Sheehan Show. You get us for an hour.
We all fam.
We all fam. In the club, we all fam.
We are all fam in the club.
We are efforting Fred Smoot. We will let you know when we get him up here. I do, though, Linnell, have some pro football focus
grades. Grades?
Some PFF in the building. I use PFF the way that I think PFF was designed to be used, which is if it matches my argument, it is the gospel.
Right.
If it doesn't, it's the dumbest thing that's ever been created and nobody should use it. I do have some grades that I want to point out here. Here's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Coleman, 89.
Woo!
Only 14 snaps, but 89.9 for Brandon Coleman. Sam Cosmi in 66 snaps. 83.3, the highest of anyone that played more than 15 snaps. Laremy Tunsil in 67 snaps, 78.4. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Connerly,
74.3. Ow!
In 67 snaps.
Love
those
to hear.
Those are your three highest graded commanders for the matchup against against the Miami Dolphins, who had a pretty good pass rush.
Yeah.
So I think that is very good for the Commanders. We will now go to the phones. Welcome in our guy, Fred Smoot, joining B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Leno Willingham sitting in. Smoot, I know the result wasn't great, but how was the trip to Spain?
What's up, country cousin?
Hey, what's up, brothers? How y'all doing? By the way, I did not make the trip to Spain because I had to go to Barstool. I go to Barstool Sports once a week, so I had to stay back and handle business. But I talked to London, talked to Santana, of course, Logan, and they loved it, man. And they said the fans really enjoyed that trip. It was the first time that American football was played in Spain, and their crowd was electric, and their stadium was awesome. So I think the experience was awesome, not like the game, but I felt like on defense, I felt like they came to play. And that's one thing I always said. I like when defensive coordinators become head coaches but never stop calling the defense. They're prone to go into CEO mode, where the offensive coordinators are never prone to go in that mode. They're going to stay on one side of the ball and make sure. It's nothing like having your boss in your room every day. Even if your boss walked in the office right now, y'all are straightened up and production flying through the roof.
You know what I'm saying? Look, by the way, a total, if any Commanders fan out there that bought their way to Spain and were expecting to see you and didn't get to, I'm sad for them. You would have made a damn trip, Fred. I would have loved to see you on video. They got a video. They got video of Logan, Fletch, Santana dancing on the stage. I said Logan dancing on the stage, by the way, too, brother. So that's definitely something to see.
Fred Smoot on foreign soil, that's a fun time.
Yeah, that's a fun time.
Fred Smoot on foreign soil, no bull. So, Fred, this is what we wanted to ask you about, and I'm glad you just brought it up. From your trained professional eye, what did you notice in Dan Quinn's play calling, like the difference that we saw yesterday?
I saw simplicity makes you play fast. You play football in there, you know. If you say, you know what, do you remember those cover two teams from Tampa? Tampa, they let you know, we're going to play one coverage the whole entire game. You just got to beat us. All right? And if you can't beat us playing this one coverage, it ain't nothing you can do. It allows you to play fast without thinking. Everything becomes second nature. And I think Coach did a good job of understanding what offense he was playing. So to me, he went in bend but don't break mode. Right? We know we're going to play a lot of zone, and they're going to probably gash us on some runs. But in the red zone, we're going to tighten up. And I felt like they achieved it, and I felt like they accomplished that. So I thought they got better by simplicity.
What have you made out of Mikey Sander still this year, Smoot, and how can they work to install confidence back into him?
Well, I guess as a DB, I'm not frowning upon his game as much as I think outside people are. He's asked to do a lot. And he's asked to play a couple of different positions. And, yes, sometimes he give up a touchdown or a catch, and that's part of a DB's life. And let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you what makes me married to the game if I'm a defensive back. My D-line, they married me to the game. Yeah. If I have no pass rush, now I have to stop your first route, then I have to stop your second route, and sometimes your third route. That's hard to do with pro wide receivers. So what I say sometimes is, judge some of these DBs on the curve when I'm missing my first screen, wise. I'm missing three, four, five defensive linemen.
Yeah, Jonathan Jones was somebody, Fred, that, you know, has got more playing time here over the past couple of weeks. When we first brought him in, I didn't know what to expect. But then watching him in camp and then in his limited action, he could fly still. What do you, like, make of the decision they're going to have to make down the stretch between him and Mikey in terms of who's going to play in the slot, who's going to play on the outside? Is that something that's matchup dependent, or are you down to see them both there? I think we definitely just lost Fred. That's why we lost him. That's why he stopped talking abruptly.
So we'll throw him on hold. We'll see if we can get Smoot back. I thought that was a great question.
So good he had to go stop and think about it. I'm glad you asked him about Mikey Sanders still. And
all right, we got him back. All right, Smoot. Sorry, we lost you there for a brief second there. Sorry, Leno. Continue your question.
What I was asking, Smoot, was Jonathan Jones and the way that he's played since he's been inserted into the lineup. For a guy of, he's like 30, pushing 31, he still, to me, looks like the fastest corner that we have. Your thoughts on him and how he looked yesterday in extended action?
Well, you're getting a guy with playoff experience, Super Bowl experience, a guy that been there, done that. Nothing that you can show him on the football field. You can't show him nothing new. He plays with poise. He understands the situational football, and I think that's what makes him great. But we're running out of defensive backs. We got to play every guy we got going. Every Jimmy and Joe that's dressing, he got to add to the game. And it's always a silver lining in situations like this when you get a lot of guys hurt. Some guys are going to get 3 to 4 times more playing time. They get to mature. Your depth get to get deeper. So it's as much as we hate to see the product on the field right now, it's some silver lining. And some guys are going to get better, all right? Which they weren't going to get any playing time because they was on the third screen. So when I see Jonathan Jones out there playing, he gives me a confidence that we can play the small things. We can do the small things right.
Fred Smoot with us here on B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham sitting in for the fellas as they travel back from Spain. What about the offense, Smoot? How did you think Mariota played?
Mariota's proven to people what I said a long time ago. He could be one of the best, if not the best, backup in football. Nothing changes when he gets in the game. I think we can all agree these last 3 to 4 games, he's played well enough for us to win some of these games. He's had composure. Besides that last interception he threw, I thought almost his game was flawless. I thought he did everything in his power to move the ball. I thought the run game really showed up. Chris Rodriguez and the rest of those guys, I thought they established themselves running the ball, and with him leaning forward and getting those extra 2 to 3 yards, C-Rod is running like a guy that think in his head, my days are numbered. I'm running this rock, and nobody's going to stop me. And I thought that helped Marcus Mariota out. But I thought for the wide receivers that he was playing with, that he really played a great game.
So probably my favorite thing from yesterday was the reaction from the sideline when Jacoby Jones catches the 25-yard catch to take them into Dolphins territory. Just anyone out there wondering, you know, the mentality of this locker room during this 5 or 6 game losing streak, I think their reaction to his play kind of shows you that, you know, despite the results not going their way, they're still a super tight-knit group.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Players getting the opportunity that they wasn't going to get. And for him to go out there and make that play at that time, and for Cliff Kingsbury to have the confidence and to make sure that in that situation right there, where we got to have it moment, we're going to go to you. And for him to make that play, like you said, the guys erupted on the sideline because they see the work that this guy puts in. They see this guy trying to get on the field. And when you finally get that chance to get on the field, you know, confidence goes a long way in football. Yeah. And sometimes you just need to see one go over the gate, all right, to get the yips off of you. And I think that was a good play call, and great execution.
Smoot, should they bring Jaden back for the Denver game?
If Jaden is healthy, play him. If he can protect himself, play him. I'm one of those people that if you paid to play football, let's go play football. I don't want to hear how the season's going to end. The season's going to end regardless, but I want to see him get better and better and better. You can only get better by actually playing football. You can't get better looking at football and thinking that ain't the process. The process is to get him out there, and he becomes the ultimate force multiplier. Watch when he do eventually get back on the field, how all the point spreads in Vegas shrink. Because they understand he don't need much to work with to go change a game. So soon as he is able to get out there, comfortable to play, and I want him fully healthy. He already had the knee. He had the hamstring. He had the elbow. I want all three to be healthy before I put him out there. I'm not just thinking singular with the elbow. I'm thinking all three. I want him fully functional, fully body, mind, and soul.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fred, I know you like to look at the boys on the perimeter. I like to look at the big dudes on the interior, and one of the big bright spots yesterday and then really all season, Eddie Goldman, man, after retiring twice and really contemplating how much he wanted to do this and whether or not he wanted it to be his occupation anymore, for him to play as well as he's played throughout the course of this season has been super impressive. Your thoughts on him?
Well, Eddie Goldman, he's part of what I call that D.C. Great Wall. Him and Kinlaw, you know, these guys are local guys, man. And Kinlaw and Goldman played on the other side of the line of scrimmage all game. Both of those goal line stands were pure responsible of those two guys dominating in the inside of the play. And when I say dominate, I mean it ain't going to show up on no stat book, right? It ain't going to show up on the paper. But if you watch that film, you know that Kinlaw is a grown damn man. Now, listen to me. Tossing guys out the club before they can even get to their section that they paid all that money for. These guys changed the line of scrimmage and gave us a chance. The only reason we had a chance in that game, I told you, we went into a bend but don't break mode.
Right.
They got to the breaking point, and they did not break. They did not succumb to the zone running game, the bolted zone running game of the Dolphins. And I think that's what gave us a chance to the end, to go into overtime. Every time we go overseas, we guaranteed to go into overtime. That gave us a chance to.
Smoot, it felt like when Johnny Newton was drafted, there was a whole lot of hype about him, and they kind of build him up as, hey, we got a first-round guy in the second round. Have you seen enough from him to be really confident about his position?
We want more. Like, it's a lot of guys, and he's one of those guys that we want more. We want more of him in the rotation. I want more production. And then I think the thing with him, if you notice, they really put him in most of the time in passing situations. They understand his pass works prowess. He has to really get the run game going, because you can't be a three-down defensive lineman if run is what you're having problems with.
Yeah,
and getting pushed off the point. And I think that's what they're worried about. And he can get better at that. Just because I always tell people, different flowers blossom at different times. Just because a guy not ready in year one, year two, he's like, you can get better, all right? People, the finished product is what we're trying to get. That's how you build a great pro team, is guys developing at different times, at different paces.
I totally agree with you. And the young guy that stood out for me, we were having this conversation earlier in the show. Fred, I love the coaching staff. To me, it's a total indictment on that group that Jordan McGee has not been on the field sooner. Anybody that watches this thing with a trained eye, he's the best linebacker we have in terms of flying to the football, in terms of, you know, playing with that you know, hair on fire mentality. What have you seen out of him, and why do you think we haven't seen him more?
I think Jordan McGee, if I had to say, I can't say he's the best on this team when it comes to the linebacker. I can say he's the most athletic and has the most athletic prowess. He is a sideline to sideline guy. He get there with bad intentions, and that's what I do like. But when you look at that group, now, yes, they're Bobby Wagner, old Yellow Jacket. They've been getting him in.
What'd you call him? What'd you call him, Smoot?
old Yellow Jacket.
Man, you're good for one.
No, listen. That play he made in coverage on that goal line stand was an unbelievable play. He still has football in him. He still could play, still one of the top tacklers. Every player has their strengths. Every player has his weakness. Frankie Louvu has been forced to play more rush in than mostly stand-up linebacker, so they didn't gave Jordan McGee time to get on the field, and he's one of those guys that he's starting to really catch his groove because they're putting him in there. He's part of what the future looks like, and I like it because he's a very intelligent guy. People don't give him a lot of pause for that because once you see the man, the myth, the body of this dude, you're like, this dude is an animal. Like, he's huge, but he can play, and you're right. He will be hitting the field more when they figure out ways to get him on the field, especially when we play against running teams.
Smoot, what is the mentality in the locker room like when you're sitting here, you're kind of as down as they are, 3-8 moving forward? You get a bye week, which obviously is nice, you know, get out, go on vacation maybe, but it does feel like they're in evaluation mode for 2026. How is that handled inside the facility?
It's kind of like a bunker down type of mentality, us against the world, nobody believes in us type of mentality. Like, this is when your intestinal fortitude is tested. This is when, who are you as a person, who are you as a player when the end of the rainbow don't got a pot of gold, but we still got to make this voyage and we got to do it together. You can earn a lot of respect playing down the road and finishing this season the way it should be finished. And once guys understand this too, the eye in the sky don't lie. Like, you're putting in your name for next year. If you want to be on this team next year, you need to go out there and make plays. So nobody in this locker room is going to give up. And because it's a lot of backup guys playing, some of these guys is putting film out there for other people, too, to say, I can play this game. I can play on this level. I can consistently get great. If we get Soldiers back and Terry come back and Jaden comes back, this team will put on better performances. But right now, I always tell people, you can't beat a team with its first string, and we're playing our third string. It just ain't going to work.
Smoot, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy
all right, cut
the bye
cousin.
Week. We'll talk again.
Anytime, Linnell.
That is Fred Smoot, former DB for the Commanders. We're going to go out to Nats Park in about 10 minutes. They're going to introduce their new manager. Looking forward to that. But I know you wanted to talk about Shedeur Sanders before
we
got to that. Yeah, this has been passionate. We had a lot of bullpen conversations. I thought what we saw was pretty much par from the course. I didn't put too much of a referendum on it. He hasn't got starter reps. He's not supposed to get starter reps. He's a backup. People, I mean, this feels like rage bait on the internet, though, with people taking one side or the other. And I don't enjoy that.
I'm not picking a side, per se. There's one very well-respected seasoned reporter who is simping for him so bad. Josina Anderson, auntie, look, you know, 3rd and 10, what did she say? Backs against the wall, against all odds throw. Jerry Jeudy broke like 3 tackles. Shedeur did nothing on the play. I'm excited, though, that he's about to get this opportunity because I think anybody that's played team sports, when you see a guy that's putting in the work behind the scenes, you can just tell there's a respect factor in that locker room for him. Just hearing folks talk post-game and then the energy that he brought to the stadium yesterday was like, oh, snap, we're finally getting to see our guys. Teammates are playing hard for him. He was 4 of 16, though.
It was not a good day.
He was 4 for 16, Denton.
It was not a good
day. Can we calm down? I'm not, look, like you said, it's not an indictment on who he is. I expect him to look like this. One, Cleveland's got the worst skill group.
Terrible.
Maybe on the East Coast.
Maybe.
I would even take some of the Nittany Lions and Ohio State. I mean,
they're really bad.
But so I don't expect him to have success early in a situation like that. But this week, if Dylan Gabriel is unable to clear the protocol, Stefanski said he would get the start.
Yeah.
I would expect him to look a lot better. I think the way Stefanski called the game, or the way Tommy Rees rather called the game, was not particularly good. First play, they booted him out. That's what you need to see from him.
Yeah, get him out, get him moving.
Use the athleticism.
That's one of the areas he was really good at in college is throwing on the move with – with accuracy. I couldn't get over it. But just seeing Anderson bro, tweets.
And she's getting cooked online. As she should.
She should.
Auntie, I love you now, but that.
And he threw a pick, and the tweet was a Shore Sanders who had no reps threw an interception. I was like, you could just say he threw a pick.
Yeah.
Again, like, it's not a massive referendum on who he is as a player.
But that's how you keep getting that inside scoop now.
But the
I guarantee if Shador gets named the starter, Josina's going to be the one to report it.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
You got to do what you got to do.
I mean, she'll be reporting what socks he's wearing.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
she'll,
bro.
She'll be reporting what his pregame meal was, too. She's clearly in the there's an association going on there with the Sanders family.
And she doesn't have to do this, either. She's a really good reporter. I don't know why she's...
There has to be.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. Because now you got me thinking, like, is there some payments going on?
Did you see the one tweet? She was like, the Jerry Jeudy joint took me out, man. Tell me something. Shador Sanders with it.
Back against the wall. Like, Lord, ma'am, it's his first start.
He threw a four-yard drag.
That he
broke. Yeah, breaks two tackles.
He, shimmied and did all these things. He'd made a couple of good throws.
Yes, he did.
There was a dig route. There was a one in the end zone that should have been caught. Yes. Ravens DB made a really good play on it. So. Yeah, you know, there was some good. There was a lot more bad. And then there was all the Justina Anderson tweets. I couldn't get over that.
Whatever the Browns are doing, though, like, even if Dylan Gabriel was in there, like, the pressure plan's not good.
No, it's not good. It's and not. Again, they're just not a very good football team. When we get back, we'll send you out to Nats Park. It is the introductory press conference for their new manager, Blake Batera. That comes your way next on B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.